Good morning. And welcome, folks. Welcome to worship in Railway Street Presbyterian Church. It's great to have you with us, folks. And if you're a visitor with us, and I know we've visitors with us this morning, then we're thrilled to have you, and trust that you'll feel warmly welcome as we unite together to worship God this morning. So let's unite to worship God together. Let's come before our God in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of joining together in this place for worship this day. Thank you for the joy of gathering with brothers and sisters to exalt the name of Jesus Christ, to worship him in spirit and in truth. Forgive us, Lord, when we take this privilege for granted, when we come less and prepare to meet with you. We acknowledge that you alone are worthy of our mind's attention and our heart's desire. And we thank you for those who will lead us in our worship today, for our singers, our musicians, for those who will lead in prayer, for the members of our audiovisual team. And as they serve you and us in this way, fill our hearts with a fresh vision of Jesus and the good news of the gospel. And enable all of us through their ministry to worship you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And as your word is read, and as that word is preached, we pray that your Holy Spirit would work to illuminate that to our hearts and minds. May the gospel come with convicting and humbling power, and with gladdening and transforming grace. And may we not merely be listeners to that word, but let us go out into this new week and through the power of your Holy Spirit to live that out, to do what it says. Thank you for the friends and visitors who gather with us today. May they experience the warmth of your welcome, the magnificence of your glory, the riches of your grace. And as we would leave this place today with your benediction and blessing, may we serve you in this week with gladness and hope. Everything we think, we say, and we do. For we ask it in Jesus' merciful and mighty name. Amen. Matthew 4, we read his account of Jesus calling his first disciples, where he simply says, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Today we're thinking about how fishermen became followers of Jesus and what that means for us today. But we first of all join together to praise God in song as we think about why it is that this Jesus that we exalt is worth following. Ben and the band are going to lead us as we sing together, "His mercy is more and mighty to save." Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? As we come into your holy presence this morning, our Lord and God, we acknowledge our sinfulness. As we've been singing together, our sins are many. And if you kept a record of them, Lord, then none of us could dare to presume to come into the presence of a holy God. But we rejoice today, Lord, for the knowledge that with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. That our sins, though there are many, your mercy is more. Lord, as we bow in your presence this morning, we come, we confess our sins. We confess those things that we have thought, those things that we have said, those actions that we have done that are contrary to your holy standards. And we come seeking your mercy. We come seeking that forgiveness that is available to us because you are mighty to save. That we can put our hope in you because with you is unfailing love. With you is full redemption because you yourself promised you would redeem Israel from all their sins. And we praise you, Lord. You have done that through the work of Jesus Christ. the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So, Father, having confessed our sins, give to us that reassurance of your promise to forgive those sins through the blood of Jesus shed for us on the cross, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Right, could I invite the boys and girls to come up to the front? Could I invite whoever's on duty and beginners and kids to come up as well? Some of you are saying, that's because he knows he needs reinforcements. Yep, that's partly it. So if I could invite the leaders to come up this morning too, that would be great. Oh, now, grown-ups, you're taking the kids' seats now. You do realize that, don't you? I mean, the gallery lot have still to come down, and you're taking their seats. Hey, the grown-ups taking their seats, just sit on the floor, all right? Caitlin's sitting on the floor. Good, right. Right. Good morning. Well, that's filled me with real joy, with your enthusiasm this morning. That's sarcasm, in case any of you don't recognize it. Good morning. Oh, that is so much better, because I really need you with it, because I need you to do things for me this morning. Can we have a slide up, please? Who knows how we play this game? Follow the leader. Alice. Right, so we need somebody to be a leader. I've decided I'll be the leader, all right? So I'm going to be the leader, and then you got to do what I say, okay? So I want everybody to stand up. Stand up. I want everybody to sit down. I want everybody to stand up again. I want everybody to stretch out their arms. I want everybody to clap their hands. Brilliant. Sit down again. Oh, super. That's not bad at all, right? Let's move it up a notch. Everybody stand up. Get in a line, because I'm the leader, so you get behind me. Leaders, you're taking part as well. That's why I brought you up, folks. Get up. Come on. Come on. Get them organized into a line. You know, you're no good to me way back there. Get in among them. Come on. Right, we've got a line. So you're going to follow me. Going to do a lap around the church. Want you to do whatever I'm doing, okay? So we're going to start off. And we're just, honestly, I should have got the kids to sort the adults out. That would have been easier, wouldn't it? Right. Juvia, we haven't started yet. Oh, she hasn't got her shoes on. Okay, right. Juvia, get your, very important, smart girl. You get your shoes on. We'll wait for you. It's all right. Abigail, you joining us? Yeah, come on. Yeah, I do really need you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, right. Okay, so off we go. Just follow me. Let's just walk. Good. Right, now I want everybody to clap their hands. Everybody in the church building too. Come on, clap. Lovely. Right, we're going outside for a moment. We'll see you in a minute. Come on. Okay, now I want you all to hop for a little bit, so let's hop. Try not to fall over. Right, clap your hands again. Great, and then take a seat. Now, if you young ones are really quick, you'll get those chairs so the grown-ups have to sit on the floor. Whew, that was super. Do you know what I think? I think you were good followers, and I think I was an absolutely brilliant leader, yeah? Yeah, it's all about following the leader and doing what he says. Do you remember last week, we've been talking about this man, John the Baptist. Next picture. No, don't put up, no, take it away again. He called Jesus something. What did John the Baptist, how did he describe Jesus last week? Can you remember? It was something to do with an animal. What did he call Jesus? Come on, Emily. The Lamb of who? The Lamb of God. We can put it up now. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. A really important title for Jesus. Well, the very next day, John the Baptist was there with two of his disciples. Next picture. And he saw Jesus walking by. And again, he said, look, the Lamb of God. And when John's two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Next picture. And Jesus turned around, saw them following, and he said, what do you want? And so they said to him, Rabbi. Now, Rabbi is a word that means teacher. They called Jesus teacher. And they said, where are you staying?
And Jesus answered, come and you'll see. And so they went and they saw where Jesus was staying. And then they stayed with him for the rest of that day. Go to the next picture. They spent the whole day listening and talking with Jesus. Now Andrew, who was one of the two who followed Jesus, the first thing he did was he went and he found his brother Peter. And he said to his brother Peter, next picture, we find the Messiah. We find the Messiah. We find the one, the promised Savior that God said was coming. And so Andrew brought Simon to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him, and Jesus said, you are Simon, son of John, but you will be called Peter, which means a rock, a rock. And the next day, Jesus wanted to set out for Galilee, but first of all, he went and he found another man. He found Philip, and he said to Philip, Philip, follow me. And Philip did that, but then he went and he found one of his friends called Nathanael. And he said to Nathanael, we found the one Moses wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Because Nazareth wasn't a very important or a very pretty town. But Philip said, come and see. And Jesus, when he saw Nathanael coming towards him, next picture, he exclaimed, look, a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. And Nathanael said to Jesus, how do you know me? And Jesus replied, well, before Philip called you, I saw you when you were sitting under the fig tree. And Nathanael realized that he was in the presence of somebody very, very special. And he said, Rabbi, he said, teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. The beginning of that day, Jesus had no followers. The end of that day, he had five who had chosen to follow him. And it changed their lives forever. You know, at least 20 times in the Gospels, we read Jesus saying those words. Next slide. Saying those words, follow me. And that's why we have beginner's church. That's why we have kids' church. That's why we have BB and GB. It's to help you learn how to be followers of Jesus. And in deciding who to follow, there is nobody better, no greater leader than Jesus, because he is the Lamb of God. Takes away the sin of the world. He's God's son. And if we follow him, we'll never go wrong. Let's close our eyes. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for sending your son. We thank you that he was the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. We thank you that Jesus calls us to follow him. Help us to do that, Lord. To follow him, to listen to what he says. And to do what he asks us to do. And help us, Lord, beginners church and kids church and junior and senior youth today, to learn more about how to follow Jesus, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, I'm ready for you to give me your cards now and your presents. I gave you warning. What I tell you it was two weeks ago, what did I say was going to be special about this day? It's my birthday. It's my birthday today. Where's the presents? Where's the cards? Oh, for goodness sake, really? Right, well, listen, other people did get me cards. I'm not going to ask you what age you think I am because I'll just be insulted and hurt by those remarks. But I got some cards this morning. Here's one I got. Let me show you. It says, Dad, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, you were born. So that's reflecting my love of Star Wars, but it's also insulting me. It's suggesting I'm an alien, very old alien. From outer space. So it's my birthday today. Listen, there's something we haven't done for a long time. We're bringing it back. And most of you won't remember because you weren't here. You weren't born. The birthday bag. Don't remember the birthday bag? Well, we used to, years ago, every Sunday we had a birthday bag. And so if it was your birthday that week, then you got to choose a present. We'd say we pray for you. So hopefully from next week, we're bringing the birthday bag back again. So if anybody's birthday is coming up, it's really important I know about it, folks. So send me a message. I know we've missed a couple of birthdays. I think we missed Freddie's birthday, didn't we? So we'll catch up with that next week. But the birthday bag will be coming back. But we're going to let you go to beginners and kids' church now. Thank you.
Let's turn to God's word together, folks, as we find it in John chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible with you, the pew Bibles are there in front of you. Do lift it out. We're on page 1064 in those pew Bibles. 1064. We're coming to look at this last section in John chapter 1 in this autumn series. We've begun looking at John's Gospel. So we're reading from verse 35 of John chapter 1. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour, that's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. Next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Amen. And we thank God for this reading from his word. People in politics can be fickle, as our Prime Minister is learning. Elected with a landslide majority only in July 2024 with 37.5% of the vote, a bombshell opinion poll this week puts Labour on only 16%. 25.5% drop. A YouGov poll last month found that just 22% of British people have a favourable opinion of Keir Starmer, in contrast with the 69% who view him unfavourably, giving him a net rating of minus 47. Only one other European leader is more unpopular at home than Starmer, and that's the French President Emmanuel Macron. Our Prime Minister is rapidly being deserted by his followers. As we come towards the end of John chapter 1, Jesus is about to begin his public ministry, but as yet, he has no followers. None. John the Baptist is coming towards the end of his ministry of bearing witness to the Messiah whom he has declared to be the Lamb of God. And John has attracted huge crowds through his preaching, as well as gaining his own disciples. But now he knows the time has come for him to decrease in order that Jesus will increase. And in our passage today, we see how Jesus begins to draw disciples to himself as fishermen become followers. And in this, we begin to see what a true disciple looks like. First of all, folks, it may seem obvious, but let us see that disciples of Jesus are followers. Disciples of Jesus are followers. Verse 35, the next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, what did they do? They followed Jesus. They followed Jesus. And so right at the beginning, we see that to be a Christian is to follow Jesus Christ. We see it again in verse 43, where we read, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Friends, Christian discipleship begins with a decision to follow Jesus. There is no Christianity apart from a personal relationship with Jesus in which we become his disciples. Christianity is really that simple, the clue's in the name. It's It's recognizing and receiving Jesus as the promised Savior that God has sent and going on to follow him. There's a growing number of people in the UK today who are identifying themselves as cultural Christians. Cultural Christians. Kemi Badenoch, the leader of the Conservative Party, describes herself as a cultural Christian. Cultural Christianity can be described as an attraction to or an adherence to Christian traditions rather than a genuine personal commitment to the Jesus Christ we find in Scripture. People who are cultural Christians may attend church services. They'll often celebrate Christian festivals. They may value Christianity's moral teachings, but they lack personal faith in Jesus Christ. But here at the very start of John's gospel, we see clearly that to be a Christian is to follow Christ. And as Andrew and his fellow disciple, and most people believe that this is the writer of the gospel, was the other disciple, John, the brother of James. They follow Jesus, and Jesus turns and asks them, "What do you want? What do you want?" And that question of Jesus speaks to us on different levels. There's the basic level where Jesus is simply asking these two men why they're following him. But I think also in Jesus' mind is a deeper question. Because Jesus confronts those who show signs of interest in him and he says, "What do you want?" Sooner or later, when we begin to take Jesus seriously, we face the same question. What do we really want from him? Some people are drawn to Jesus because they're seeking escape from the hardships of life. They want protection from the suffering that this world throws at them. Such people are likely to be disappointed with Jesus because following Jesus does not lead away from trials, but often into them. He doesn't keep us out of the storm, but he does get into the boat and journey with us. Others are drawn to Jesus because they've maybe heard the preachers of the so-called prosperity gospel promising them health and wealth. Such people have apparently not read Jesus' actual words because he is the one who said, "If anyone comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." Others are drawn to Jesus today, and it seems an increasing number, because they're seeking hope and meaning in an increasingly turbulent and chaotic world. Now, you may be here this morning and the truth is that you're no more than a cultural Christian. You've maybe been associated with this church for many years, or you've maybe come more recently and you dabble with religion once a week. You like the traditions and the occasions. You're attracted to Christianity's ethical and moral framework. You have some interest in the things of God, but you could not describe yourself as a disciple of Jesus. You've never responded to that call to follow him. So Jesus asks you today, what do you want? What do you want from this association with me? Are you prepared to stop dabbling and hanging around the edges and take the plunge and follow me? C.S. Lewis said this, "There comes a moment when the children playing at burglars hush suddenly. Was that a real footstep in the hall? There comes a moment when people who have been dabbling in religion suddenly draw back. Supposing we really find him, we never meant it to come to this. We're still supposing he find us." And so it is a sort of Rubicon. One goes across or not, but if one does, one may be in for anything. Jesus asks us, are you prepared to leave all and follow me? Because that's what he wanted from Andrew, his fellow disciple. That's what he wants from us. There are things that people want or expect to receive from Jesus, but what is really important is what Jesus wants to give us, because he knows our deepest needs. Charles Spurgeon expanded Jesus' question to make it an offer of all the blessings that Jesus gives to those who follow him. Are you seeking pardon? You shall find it in me. Are you seeking peace? I will give you rest. Are you seeking purity? I will take away your sin. A new heart I will give you, and a right spirit I'll put within you. What are you seeking? Some solid resting place for your soul upon earth and a glorious hope for yourself in heaven. Whatever you seek, it is here. It's found in Jesus. And so what do you want? What did Andrew want at the deepest level? Andrew and his companion wanted to know, is this the Messiah? Is John the Baptist's testimony correct? And perhaps nervous to express what John had said about Jesus, they opt for a safer question. They say, Rabbi, where you stay? Jesus responds, come and you will see. And we read, they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. They had the opportunity to sit and to listen to Jesus and to question Jesus up close. And they learned a lot that afternoon. Friends, when we come to Jesus and begin to follow him, another aspect of our discipleship is that we learn from him. Andrew and his companion called Jesus Rabbi, which means teacher. In Judea in those days, religious teachers gathered disciples around them who would follow them, usually walking behind them, serving them, meeting their daily needs, listening to their teaching. Likewise, if we're followers of Jesus, then we will learn from him. How do we learn from him? By studying his word. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth, to point us to Jesus through the scriptures. And so to learn from Jesus today is to learn from the Bible, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us and build us up in our faith. In Acts 2, we learn that one of the things the early disciples devoted themselves to, the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching was what Jesus had taught them. Donald Barnhouse said, what is the food that makes our faith strong? The written word of God. What is the foundation of our hope? The written word of God. What is the cause of our obedience and the directive of our actions? The written word of God. We need to accept Jesus as our rabbi, our teacher, and follow him as we're taught by his word day by day. So again, I'd encourage you, if you're a follower of Jesus, how are you learning from your teacher? Could I encourage you again to avail of one of our discipleship groups? Come along on Thursday mornings to our Bible discovery group. If you're a young mom, then there's that Bible study on a Friday morning. Or get along to the Dromore Foundations as it begins next month. We need to learn from our teacher. And in learning from Jesus, Andrew then reaches a conviction that he shares with his brother Simon. We have found the Messiah. And he brings his brother Simon to Jesus, and we read, Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which is Peter. Now, both of those names mean rock. And Jesus assigning a new name to Simon is a declaration of what Peter will eventually become through following Jesus. Simon will be changed through his association with Jesus. There will come a day when he truly will become Peter. He will be a rock. The man who would go on to deny Jesus 3 times will become a fearless preacher of the gospel. Calling us to follow him, Jesus has his plans for us as his disciples, not to leave us as we are, but to change us. He wants to make us into new men and women. He wants us to grow daily in grace and in our knowledge and relationship with him so that we become like him. Friends, there's no Christianity without a personal commitment to follow Jesus day by day. There's too many people in our land and they think they're Christians because they raised their hand or they went up to the front at some gospel meeting many, many years ago. And yet ask them what has changed in their life since, and they'll tell you nothing. To be a Christian means to follow Jesus from day to day. And if we're not following Jesus, we cannot call ourselves a Christian. Disciples of Jesus are followers. Secondly, disciples of Jesus are called in different ways. There's much discussion about the best method of evangelism in this day and age. Some emphasize that direct approach where you bring people into a place and an evangelist directly preaches the gospel. Others emphasize a more relational approach in which Christians seek to establish a personal relationship with others out of which they hope will grow a receptivity to the gospel. Some people engage in open-air witness or hand out gospel tracts like they do in Bow Street. And the truth is that God can and does work through all these methods, although I think some are better than others in Lisburn in the 21st century. But we see elements of these different approaches in our passage. John engaged in public preaching, calling people to repent and prepare for the Savior. And John thoroughly understood his role. He was not interested in acquiring followers for himself. His chief desire was to point others to follow Jesus. And we see John putting that into practice by drawing the attention of two of his disciples to Jesus, who he describes again as the Lamb of God. And their curiosity arises, they follow Jesus. That marked the end of their association with John the Baptist. The beginning of their calling to be disciples of Jesus. That would cost John two loyal and gifted followers, yet John the Baptist deliberately encourages that transfer of allegiance to Jesus. Why? Because he understood his role and he knew it was coming to an end. His work had been to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. Now the Messiah was here. John's disciples needed to follow the one he had been pointing them towards all this time. That's a lesson and a warning for Christian leaders today. There's a tendency today for people to attach themselves to a particular church because it has a charismatic and gifted pastor. And that can become a snare for those pastors. Too often Christian leaders become victims of the temptation to enhance their own position and prestige as they look at the number of people who come to hear them on a Sunday. They forget their chief aim should be like that of John, to point others to Jesus, never to themselves. See the public preaching of John the Baptist pointing others to Jesus. Then there's Philip, who receives a direct call from Jesus himself to follow him. That's the experience of others today. They believe that Jesus speaks to them personally through the preaching of God's word or through circumstances or even in very direct and dramatic ways. There are so many accounts of people from the Islamic faith coming to faith in Jesus because they have a dream where Jesus appears to them. They don't have the scriptures. In Nathanael's case, he follows Jesus because he gets a glimpse of Jesus' divine power. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he says, "Here's an Israelite, a true Israelite, in whom there's nothing false." And Nathanael is amazed that Jesus seems to know anything about him. And he says to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were sitting under the fig tree before Philip called you." Now, Jesus wasn't physically present to see Nathanael under the fig tree, and Nathanael knew that. And so he realizes he's standing in the presence of someone with divine knowledge. And so he says, "Rabbi, you're the Son of God, you're the King of Israel." Folks, over the years I've seen people become disciples of Jesus in various ways. I've seen people converted suddenly through the preaching of the gospel. I've seen people come to faith after years of hearing and grappling with the gospel. I've seen people become disciples of Jesus as a result of a faithful witness of a friend or family member. I've seen people come to faith in Jesus in their deathbeds. Our God's a creative God. He demonstrates that creativity in the many and varied ways he draws people to become disciples of Jesus. The important thing is we don't make the mistake of seeking to limit God by dogmatically insisting he only works in a certain way. Holy Spirit works in different people's lives in different ways, calling them to put their faith in Jesus. We should embrace that and rejoice in that. 1 Corinthians 9, Paul sets out he did not limit himself to simply one approach when it came to sharing the gospel. Instead, he wrote this: "To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some." Disciples of Jesus are called in different ways. Thirdly, disciples of Jesus make others disciples. That day spent with Jesus convinced Andrew to find the one that John the Baptist had been pointing to. What does he do in response? What do you do when you've received good news? You want to share it with somebody as soon as possible. Andrew immediately saw the need to tell others about the one he had found. So we read these beautiful words. The first thing Andrew did, verse 41, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." What did he do? He brought him to Jesus. Andrew became the first in a long line of successors who have discovered that the most common and effective testimony, it's often the private witness of a friend to friend or a brother to brother. Folks, too often we don't say anything about our faith to anybody. When I've been blessed to have been with someone who's accepted Jesus as their Savior, I've always said the same thing to them. I want you to tell at least one other person before this day is out. And when I see you again, I'm going to ask you if you did that. That's so important. And sharing that faith with another person right away, it affirms people in that newfound faith. And one reason some Christians struggle so much when it comes to witnessing is because they never did that when they became a Christian. They never told anybody. And the longer they've gone on, the less likely it becomes that they will. Friends, if this is the best news we've ever heard, then we should have that desire to share it with others. J.C. Ryle says, Peter heard no preaching. He saw no mighty miracles. He wasn't moved by powerful argument, but by the testimony of his brother. And we see that again in what Philip does. Philip finds Nathanael. He tells him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also spoke, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. Philip's first reaction is to share what he's learned with someone else. Nathanael's reaction, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? It's maybe a bit of rivalry between Nathanael's town and Nazareth. It's a bit like somebody who went to friends in Lisburn saying, Wallace? Can anything good come out of Wallace? Or vice versa. Other schools are available. Philip's response to Nathanael's prejudice is to simply say, come and see for yourself. Come and meet this man. Friends, the main reason Christianity spread so rapidly in those first couple of centuries as it spread across the Roman Empire and beyond was because it was shared by family and friends who had embraced that faith. It's the same today. There are many, many studies have been undertaken in regards to what factors have brought people to faith in Jesus Christ. And they all point to the same thing. That is primarily through the one-to-one witness of another Christian. John MacArthur said, one thing I've discovered in all my years of ministry is that the most effective and important aspects of evangelism usually take place on an individual, personal level. Most people do not come to Christ as an immediate response to a sermon they hear in a crowded setting. They come to Christ because of the influence of an individual. Personal witness. Friendship. Vital, powerful evangelistic tools. J.C. Ryle said this, who can tell what might have happened if Andrew had been of a silent, reserved, and uncommunicative spirit like many Christians today? His brother might have lived and died a fisherman on the Galilean lake, but Andrew was not a man of that sort. He was one whose heart was so full he must speak. And to Andrew's outspoken testimony under God, the great apostle Peter owed the first beginning of light in his soul. Well would it be for the church if all believers were more like Andrew and tell friends and relatives what they have found. It's been said that 8 out of 10 church members have never invited anyone to their church. That 9 out of 10 church members have never helped lead anyone to Christ. So let me ask you, when was the last time you invited a friend or family member to come to church with you? You have that opportunity now to invite somebody to come along to Christianity Explored. Edward Kimball was a disciple who sought to witness to a shoe salesman he had met. And Kimball was a timid, soft-spoken man, the very opposite of a bold evangelist. And the shoe salesman was a rough and crude individual. But the Lord laid it on Kimball's heart to speak with him about Jesus. And so Kimball headed to the store, uncertain whether he should be going there during business hours when he had no intention of buying a pair of shoes. And not clear as to what he would say, and he was so preoccupied, he walked right past the store. When he realized that, he determined to get it over with. He dashed in, he found the young man shelving shoes in the stockroom, and as he later remembered it, he spoke with limping words. I never could remember just what I said, something about Christ and his love, that was all. And it was, in Kimball's judgment, a weak appeal, and yet God used his witness to that young man to give his heart to Jesus Christ. And that shoe salesman was called D.L. Moody. Now, many of you will not even have heard of D.L. Moody today, but D.L. Moody went on to become a powerful evangelist. His ministry had a huge impact in America and in the UK. He founded the Moody Bible Church in Chicago, along with the Moody Bible Institute that my brother-in-law went to. The gospel is still heard by many today through Moody Christian Radio. Millions of people have been reached over the decades through the ministry of D.L. Moody, and it all began with one hesitant Christian disciple who was faithful to bring another person to Jesus. Folks, there is huge potential in this building today to have a significant impact on our community by bearing witness to Jesus in our day-to-day lives. Let me remind you again why we exist as a church. This is our purpose statement: to follow Christ, to serve the community. And never forget, as I've said before, the most important way that you and I can serve our community is by introducing them to Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Disciples of Jesus are followers. They're followers of Jesus. Disciples of Jesus are called in different ways. Let us recognize that and rejoice in the different way God works by his Spirit to bring people to Jesus. And the disciples of Jesus then go, as Jesus commanded us to do, to go and to seek to make others disciples. So if you're a disciple of Jesus, let's commit ourselves to that calling as we go into a new week. Let's look for those opportunities that the Holy Spirit gives us. Let's do what we can through our personal witness to point others to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that John the Baptist came in order to point people to Jesus, not to himself. We thank you then when Jesus came and was identified by John, John encouraged his disciples to go after Jesus, to follow him. We thank you it's still the same today, Lord. Jesus calls us to follow him, to give up what we're doing, Lord, and to set other things aside and to give our lives to Jesus, to follow him day by day. And we thank you as we do that, we find the best possible life, that life in all its fullness that Jesus promised. Thank you for the different ways you work to bring people to become Jesus' followers. Thank you particularly how you work through our personal witness and our personal testimony. Help us to understand that, Lord. To see as disciples, we are called to make other disciples. Lord, you do offer us opportunities. Week by week, those opportunities are there to give the reason for the hope that we have. As we talk about the news, to share our Christian perspective on that, help us to take those opportunities, to use them and then to allow your Holy Spirit to work through them. Thank you for the potential that there is in this building to truly make a difference to this city. To go out as disciples of Jesus, to bear witness to him. Be with us in that, Lord, and be pleased, Lord, to build your church, not just in this place, but across this city and this land and beyond. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, we join together to sing an older hymn about the church and about its calling. The tune will be familiar even if the words are not. The song is Church of God, Elect and Glorious. We say the words together. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.